The University of Detroit Mercy presents a special edition of Ask the Professor. Today, we'll hear the second half of a program recorded before a live audience on October 29th at UDM's McNichols Campus Library.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and we are being welcomed by the UDM McNichols Library. We're broadcasting live from the lobby today. And let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, doodling on a napkin, it's Professor Dave Chow from the College for Creative Studies.
I gotta take notes for the show again.
That's right. Isn't that silly?
Vivian's gonna get one on a napkin now, that's all. So.
Some of the greatest scientific discoveries of all time were put out on a napkin, I promise you that.
That's actually one of my finals.
What do they have to draw?
I give them topics, or we wait for the waitress to slow down a little bit.
Okay.
Oh, that would help.
There we go.
So, yeah. So, anyway.
Sometimes you have to wait for the waitresses.
I have to wait for the waitresses to slow down so we can draw them.
Got it.
But, you know, we just draw on anything, everything.
Sure.
So I'm just trying to wake up, so forgive me.
Do you draw on your own experience?
No.
All right.
Hardly.
The voice of the red shirt wearing Professor Jason Roach from Communication Studies.
Yes. Is that my voice?
Did I hear this was your day off?
This is my non-teaching day.
Oh, non-teaching
I don't know if I would say day off.
Yeah, I understand.
But it's okay. My not have to be here on campus at any particular time day.
Got it. Well, and I think that's why you're wearing red. Otherwise, you'd be wearing black and yellow, I just assume, you know.
That's right.
Absolutely.
As like most other days in the football season.
To my right, from the Department of Biology, it's Professor Stephanie Conant. We understand that you might have to disappear in the waning moments of this show.
I do. I have class at 2, so.
Okay, that's important.
We'll see.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah. What class is this, by the way?
It is the Introbio C-Phage Lab.
Oh, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I think so.
I was advising Danielle Maxwell today. She is enjoying herself greatly.
She's doing well, yeah.
Excellent. C-Phage is going well. How are C-Phages going with you, Professor Dan Maggio?
Oh, it was an easy class. I can teach it. I don't even know what it means.
Come on down.
Biology was never my forte, but I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. How are Legos?
Lots of math right now.
Okay, I can do that.
Dan can do lots of math. How are Legos going?
Our program is in full swing. It's going very well, actually. It's very busy and hectic.
Cool.
Putting out lots of fires. I should have been a firefighter. Just helping people solve problems. Yeah. Problem solver. So.
Problem solving. Yes. I understand. Absolutely. What kind of problems do you solve on a daily basis, Professor Heather Hill-Vasquez of the Department of English?
I'm stymied by that question, but I guess I will say the Board of Trustees is on campus right now, aren't they?
That's right.
I'm changing the subject because I don't know how to respond to your previous question.
That's fine.
No, doesn't the air feel different?
Well, it's certainly chillier today in the weather.
Are you making a connection between the...
In the immortal words of a tweet that I saw online last week, where there's smoke, there's smoke. Correlation is not causation. The end.
And that's the final word, in case anybody's listening.
Folks, we are being welcomed by the UDM McNichols Library. We're broadcasting live from the lobby today. And this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find us on Facebook. We have some questions about Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, man.
The Raven. Raven.
Yeah.
We have an English professor. I think we're covered.
Nevermore.
Yeah, I can do all literature.
Absolutely.
From the beginning of humankind until the present day.
Well, that's why we called you.
Yeah. We need a ringer. I mean,
Yeah, you're a professor.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got here. Questions 1 through 6 are based on an introduction by Wilbert S. Scott written for a collection of Poe's works. Actually, the one that I have at home. Edgar Allan Poe died October 9th, 1849. The man he had asked to be his literary executor wrote, as part of the obituary, "Edgar Allan Poe is dead. He died in Baltimore the day before yesterday. This announcement will startle many, but few will be grieved by it." Do you know who wrote that? Who was the man who executed? Pardon me.
He wrote it.
He did not, actually.
Oh, darn.
Mark Twain?
No, it wasn't Mark Twain. It wasn't Mark Twain.
I don't know.
It was a reverend.
Neil Simon? Oh.
No. Did not win the Tony.
Darn.
And Poe's obituary.
Gotta admit, that'd be pretty good.
What would we know from the 1850s?
You should know your reverends from the 1850s. It's really important.
Reverend Jonathan Edwards.
I'm thinking of a very important street that is in downtown Detroit that starts with the letter G.
Gratiot?
Not Grand River. Gratiot. Not Grand River.
Reverend Grand River.
Reverend Grand River.
West Grand?
Reverend West Grand.
Same as the last name from a famous National Lampoon's traveling family.
Griswold?
Griswold. Griswold. Okay. Reverend Henry Griswold, of course.
Oh. You know who that is?
Almost full credit. Almost full credit.
We know he wrote his obituary.
Matt's job is just to get us to something we do know, so...
Actually, I'm guessing from the way this is phrased that Poe actually wrote that and just asked somebody to take care of it.
Just submit it for him, that's all.
I think Poe did write it.
I believe he was drunk when he died.
I'm guessing that he was.
You think he was drunk when he wrote that?
Yes.
Possibly.
All right.
Well pickled.
Was he a known drinker?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He was a known a lot of things-er. Edgar Allan Poe was born in January 1809 as Edgar Poe. How did he come to be known as Edgar Allan Poe?
There was somebody else in the Writers Guild that had Edgar Poe?
That's a good guess, Michael J. Fox, but no, that is incorrect. That is incorrect.
That was a good comeback, by the way.
You can do this in general. I mean, how might you pick up another name in the
marriage?
Middle of all the other ones you got? Not marriage.
Confirmation?
Baptism, nope.
Confirmation,
like
baptism.
Nope.
St. Alan. You're
ignoring the more obvious one.
More obvious.
Driver's license. Oh.
No.
Escaping the law.
No, he was adopted. In less than 2 years after his birth, his father disappeared and his mother died of pneumonia, so he ended up in Richmond, Virginia, at the home of a merchant named John Allen. Yep. Edgar was never technically adopted, but came to be known as Edgar Allan Poe.
Okay.
Parentheses.
Gotcha.
After some schooling in England, what American university did Poe attend? Oh, okay. I mean, this is a long shot, but my boss in the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry got his PhD from this institution.
School of Hard Knocks.
If Jim Tubbs were here, he would know the name of this institution.
North Carolina.
Not North Carolina.
Virginia.
The University of Virginia.
Benvenuto got his degrees all from the same place?
No. He went to VMI.
Right.
And then went to UVA.
Oh, and then UVA. Gotcha.
Why did he leave UVA before completing his degree? Don't think too hard. We were just talking about
alcoholism.
Yes.
Oh.
He was expelled for drinking and gambling. Poor guy.
Did he do well?
Wait, you can expel students for that?
Yes. Really? The only class he got an A in was drinking and gambling.
Passed with flying colors.
Student. Poe is alleged to have created the detective story. This claim is based on four of his narratives. Can you name any two of his early detective stories?
Cask of
No. It's not the Cask of Amontillado, no.
Detective stories.
You guys don't know these, huh?
No.
Dave, fun can stories. Let me borrow your pen. I want to draw a blank.
Nope.
Give me my pen back. I need to draw a
the
blank.
The Gold Bug, The Murders in the Rue Morgue, The Purloined Letter, and The Mystery of Marie Roget.
I've heard of two of those.
Yeah. I've heard of the Purloined Letter.
I've read the Purloined Letter.
Do you remember the character he had in these stories who was his detective, his, you know, Miss Marple, so to speak, his Sherlock Holmes? Last name started with a D. You did a very good job with these questions, Vivian. A very,
very
good
killing
job.
Us. You're killing us, I tell you.
Well, we should invite her over.
Yeah.
Poe's detective is Dupin. Auguste Dupin.
Wow.
Auguste.
The following are passages from some of Poe's stories. Identify the story from which each is quoted. Think you guys can do this?
No.
Let's look
sure,
for some
we'll
literary cues.
I'm not an Americanist. I don't do this stuff.
I know. Now you
and
know
I
how I feel when someone's
like
I heard
Poe.
Something on the radio and had something to do with chemistry. Did you hear it? I'm like,
yes, I know how you feel. I'm sure you do.
During the whole of a dull, dark, and soundless day when the clouds hung oppressively low, I had been passing alone through a dreary tract of country, and at length found myself within view of the melancholy house.
The fall of the House of Usher.
A sense of insufferable gloom pervaded my spirit. The fall of the
House of Usher.
Okay.
So I got one. I'm also stories. Listening.
That's what you think, yep. Buster. All get right. back on the bench.
True, nervous. Very, very dreadfully nervous I've been and am.
That's
but will you say that I'm mad?
Telltale heart.
Yes. The disease that had sharpened my senses, not destroyed, not dulled them, above all, was the sense of hearing acute. I heard all things in heaven and in the earth, and I heard many things in hell. The telltale heart. The thousand injuries of Fortunato I had borne as best I could, but when he ventured upon insult, I vowed revenge. At length, I would be avenged. I would not only punish, but punish with impunity.
That's the cask.
The cask of Amontillado.
Oh, I was going to say the Jeffrey Figer story.
He walls the guy up in the wine cellar.
Yep.
I was sick unto death with that long agony, and when they at length unbound me and I was permitted to sit, I felt my senses were leaving me. The sentence, the dread sentence of death, was the last distinct accentuation which reached my ears.
Pit and the pendulum?
The pit and the pendulum.
Wow.
Torture. Like horrible torture.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dan.
I was waiting for like a little clue that this would be the pit and the pendulum.
There you go.
I remember the rats.
No pestilence had ever been so fatal or so hideous. Blood was its avatar and
the
its seal. The redness and the horror of blood.
Exactly before somebody else jumped on it.
There were sharp pains, sudden dizziness, and then profuse bleeding at your pores. The scarlet stains upon the body, and especially upon the face of the victim, were the pest ban which shut him out from the aid and from the sympathy of his fellow men.
Sounds like. Describe the perp.
I can't.
They are making of this in the very famous story, The Phantom of the Opera. They attend a ball that is based on the theme of this story.
The Black Plague. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you're close. You're thinking color and you're thinking pestilence. It's the mask of the Red Death.
Yeah.
Wow.
The mask of the Red Death. I feel like I'm the only person who's ever read Poe in here.
I didn't realize he had that many stories.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I feel so illiterate now.
Some questions regarding Edgar Allan Poe's poems. In The Raven, there are 18 stanzas. How many of those end with nevermore?
Just one.
Nope. Or your last one.
17.
No? Nope.
It's somewhere in between, 1 and 17?
Yes.
Correct. Right. Partial.
Where's Kendra for this? You know, she usually nails it just based
on...
I know, it's just a random guess. Yeah. I'll go with 8. I'll go with 8.
2.
Dan,
two?
Solve it mathematically.
15.
I'm going to stay out of this.
It's 17. Pardon me. No, it's not 17. It's 11. It's 11. Sorry. But for the record, it's the last 11.
Is there a significance?
It's a prime number.
That's probably the significance.
I'm not sure if there's a significance. I love that poem very, very much, but I don't know if there's a significance there.
Of course there's a significance.
I took poetry with Father McKendrick, and he didn't like to do Edgar Allan Poe, so we didn't get to do that much.
I'm not a big fan either.
I literally remember at this time of year, being as Halloween obsessed as I am, getting ready for the next part of the book, and he goes, turn to page 270.
So you passed all that.
We're jumping over the whole thing.
Honestly, the only thing I really remember about Edgar Allan Poe was that was the name of the raven in The Munsters.
Oh, yeah.
In the alarm clock.
Only makes
or
sense.
No, the cuckoo clock.
Mm-hmm.
Alarm clock. Oh, I'm losing
it. You need an alarm clock.
I need one now, so.
About whom did Poe write, wretches, ye loved her for her wealth and hated her for her pride, and when she fell in feeble health, ye blessed her that she died. Hint, the name is also the title of the poem. His beloved... Anybody?
Wife?
Mistress.
I don't think that he had a wife. I don't think that Edgar Allan Poe had a wife. His beloved Lenore.
Lenore.
Oh, okay.
Lenore. Lenore.
That occurs in one of the Simpsons Halloween.
Yep, that's the raven. Yep. Quoth the raven nevermore. In the poem Annabel Lee, how many times in 6 stanzas is Annabel Lee named?
In 6 stanzas?
None.
0.
Yeah.
I mean, 6. I'm going to go with the.
It's
go
not with 6. 0 and it's not 11. It's
0, 6. 1, or all, or something
and
like that.
And it's 3 then.
It's 7. In the last stanza, she's mentioned twice. For the moon never beams without bringing me dreams of the beautiful Annabel Lee, and the stars never rise, but I feel the bright eyes of the beautiful Annabel Lee.
Wow. Oy. You're making me want to go out and
Poe's got something about prime numbers.
It's beautiful stuff.
It really is.
It's beautiful stuff. Absolutely. The bells.
The bells.
What types of bells are mentioned? Name either with a description or its purpose.
Southern?
Oh. No, not Southern bells.
Brass?
Hand?
Not the bells of the clock tower either.
Oh.
Not brass.
Church bells?
Yeah, I was going to say
church. We can be what they're made of.
Brass?
Iron?
No. Nope.
Tin?
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Aluminum. We do have iron bells. I'm sorry. We do have iron bells. I'm giving you that one. But tin is not there.
And mercury's not one of them.
Mercury is not one of them.
The mercury bells.
Silver bells, yep.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
What is Poe describing with the following lines? Hint, also the title of the poem, our last question. But see, Amid the mimic rout, a crawling shape intrude, a blood-red thing that writhes from out the scenic solitude. It writhes, with mortal pangs, the mimes become its food, and the angels sob at vermin fangs in human gore imbued.
Ooh.
Man. One of the best poems ever.
Sounds like a...
Goosebumps.
Great copywriting for like Uber or something like that.
So what the question is, what is that describing?
Right, what is it describing? It's also the title of the poem. I'll give you a hint. These things crawl in and out.
Worms.
Yes, it's the conqueror worm.
Worms crawl in, the worms gotcha. Crawl out.
In the world before bacteria, we do have an immunologist with us.
I almost said tongue.
The worms were the most important peeps.
Oh.
Sure.
It's my life motto.
Can I have that on my gravestone, please?
Right. The worms are the most.
We have a set of questions from a student here at UDM.
Oh, cool.
Lucas Mathis is in of Livonia, Michigan, is in my organic chemistry class. And he says, these are ask the professor questions that are not university related.
Oh, okay.
We have lives outside of this, you know.
We do?
We do. Yeah. It's true.
We do.
Lord knows we try.
I think I see where this question set is going, and I think that you're going to enjoy it. 20th century philosopher and ex-football, that is, soccer star, Albert Camus, passionately stated that dying young and abruptly is the worst possible fate for a concrete existing individual. A few years later, in 1960, he died in a car accident at the age of 46. What was the name of the Porsche 550 Spyder that was involved in the fatal car accident resulting in the death of James Dean 5 years earlier than that?
Recalled.
Oh. No. This is, I mean, everything comes back to The Simpsons. This is actually parodied on The Simpsons.
Oh.
Porsche, if you remember,
the name of the Porsche?
Snake is the name of the guy who's always in and out of jail, and he has a special car named Lil Bandit. This is not the name of the car that James Dean was driving. It's a little more
the Viper,
the Rebel.
Yeah. Not the Rebel.
The Giant?
Just a little more verbal. No?
More verbal.
Are we allowed to say it on the radio?
I think we can say it in the interest of history.
Madeline?
Nope.
I just threw that out.
Zippy?
There.
Extremely vulgar. Zippy. No, it is not Zippy. The word Zippy? I'm looking for starts with a B and is often used in regal lineages to describe heirs with no fathers.
The bastard.
Yes, very interesting.
That
very
is
interesting.
Not what I was going to say.
Okay.
Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics roughly translates to "the virtues my father taught me." This famous father-son duo produced TV and Hollywood comedic gold under titles including Seinfeld, King of Queens, Zoolander, Meet the Fockers, and Little Fockers.
Ben and Jerry Stiller?
I would argue
Ben
with
Stiller.
Comedic.
It's Jerry. Ben Stiller, yeah. Oh. Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, Ben and Jerry's. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those weren't all funny, by the way.
And Miro was in there, too.
He said comedic gold.
Zoolander was comedic gold.
It's true.
Zoolander is classic.
Yeah, it had a pan through a lot.
We're just going to categorize it as doing slightly better than Gem and the Hologram.
I'm not sure that the Fockers
is. That's going to be our bar to set from now on. 13th century theologian St. Thomas Aquinas describes four orders of law in a hierarchy, with eternal being greater than divine, being greater than natural, being greater than human. This actor was arrested 2 weeks ago on October 10th in Austin, Texas, for violating the human law forbidding public intoxication.
No.
It wasn't Lamar Odom.
It was
not.
Right. I mean, there's so many to pick from.
The arrests will follow after recovery.
Yeah.
Weeks ago in Austin, Texas.
There was a rumor at some point where I think that my wife's heart almost stopped that he would be replacing Harrison Ford as the new Indiana Jones.
Oh,
Chuck Norris.
Not Bradley Cooper.
No.
Chris Pratt.
No.
It's
before that.
Oh, shoot.
What's he look like?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Transformers.
No, the whole.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
What?
Dear Lord, that man's a train wreck.
See a video.
How could you replace somebody that's 30 years older than you?
Well, no, remember, the idea is that he was playing Indy's son. In that
flashback. Speaking of another bad movie. Just pointing that out.
Oh, it's
which
horrible.
One?
That one.
Indiana Jones 4.
Terrible movie.
Oh,
terrible movie.
It's horrible.
I want to go back and get my 750.
I want to go climb my refrigerator.
It was out 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's about right. That's about right. Yeah.
For a while, Olivia was playing this video YouTube thing about Shia LaBeouf over and over again. It's like an orchestra talking about crazy Shia LaBeouf, like
he's hunting
off
you.
Yeah. Yes. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know
about?
Exactly what you're referring to.
She kept
to.
Playing it over and over and over again. She found
Shia
it very
LaBeouf is like hunting you, and he's going to take you down, and you got to run. And yeah,
it's bizarre.
That's the best it's kind of YouTube bizarre. Videos, yeah. The kind you play over and over again.
It's true. It's true.
Okay.
18th and 19th century philosopher Jeremy Bentham, creator of the famous utility calculus, says that we should live by the principle which approves or disapproves of every action whatsoever, according to the tendency which it appears to have to augment or diminish the happiness of a party or to promote or oppose that happiness, known as utilitarianism. Which famously controversial singer appeared to be exercising this calculus when he was photographed being alarmingly comfortable with one of his backup dancers at a bar in London 1 week ago? Justin Maybe they Bieber. Were practicing his next routine?
What?
Biebs, you got it. Nice. Justin Bieber. Absolutely.
Can I just keep him over there?
He's Canadian.
I know, exactly. Keep him over there. On the other side of the Commonwealth.
The other side of the Commonwealth. Yes. I love it. He'll be on the money soon. There's no stopping.
Dear Lord.
Non-consequentialism is the idea that intentions toward good should be the driving motivation in our moral decisions. Khloe Kardashian appears to adopt this mindset when she said she would take back Lamar after he promised to...
We did have live? A Lamar Odom question.
This was so recently? Funny. Yeah.
Live is a partial credit response.
To give up, to give up hookers
live,
and booze?
I'm giving it to you. Quit drugs. For good is what it says here. Yeah. So
she didn't ask this of him recently, did she? Because
I believe that was one of her
he's
media
now.
Follow-ups from the.
Yeah, he's woken up.
Bedside.
I was gonna say, is he
awake?
I believe
yeah.
He's
so awake. Living yeah. is actually yeah. You can check the box. Okay, that's good.
That's a start.
Good. Yeah, that's good. 19th century philosopher John Stuart Mill claims we should strive to generate the greatest amount of public utility, that is, providing the greatest amount of good for the most people.
You're not talking about utilities like DT.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Know your own power. Khloe Kardashian may very well adopt this idea in court in her defense to this lawsuit filed against her resulting from a fireworks show that she put on this last summer. What was the claim of the lawsuit?
That there were no fireworks?
What are the fireworks?
Somebody got burnt.
Somebody is suing Khloe Kardashian with regard to fireworks. It has nothing to do with an NFL player.
Because they got burnt?
Yeah, too loud? Too much?
No.
Too close?
No, are you asking why she's getting sued or what her defense was?
Why she's getting sued.
The grand finale was too
lame. Because
they
were bad fireworks?
False advertising?
Yeah.
No, a neighbor's dog was traumatized.
Oh, that happens.
Poor Fluffy.
It does happen.
Poor Fluffy.
Are we going to have to say goodbye to you, Professor Conan?
I got like 2 minutes.
Okay.
Quick, get another question.
We have another question here. 17th and 18th century philosopher John Locke describes a social contract as an agreement between two or more parties wherein each party gives up some freedoms in order to derive the particular benefits determined in the contract. Kanye West recently made guests of Kim Kardashian's 35th birthday party enter into this kind of social contract.
Confidentiality.
No selfies.
No
photos.
He forced them to do something, to be at the party.
Sing happy birthday.
They couldn't use their phones.
Clothing free.
No.
They had to bow and kiss his feet.
They had to bring a pot for the potluck.
Nope.
They had to wear pajamas.
Hot dish.
Hot dish.
They had to wear something. They had to wear something.
A toga?
Kanye t-shirts?
Mask. No. Well, Kim is in a certain physiological state.
Pregnant? Moo-moos. They had to wear moo-moos.
She pregnant?
Oh. She was pregnant.
So they all had to wear, like, pregnant suits?
They all had to wear fake baby bumps to match Kim, the men.
Wow.
Wow. No, we call that a beer gut.
I'm putting that in the out of the ordinary category.
Why do we pay attention to these people?
I have no idea.
Well, the great thing is mixing it with actual philosophy.
True philosophy.
You know,
the questions are
really well done.
They're fantastic. I love it.
But beyond the questions.
The student deserves an A, by the way.
Why does society pay attention to the Kardashians?
Yes.
That's a question for philosophers.
Entire dissertations are being written.
Couldn't figure that one out.
Entire dissertations.
Funny.
We'll try to fit in one more
figure it out
before Stephanie has to leave. Oh, that is not our ending sound. Kant's categorical imperative can be defined as acting on the maxim which you can at the same time will that it should become a universal law. Rapper Tyga seems to be acting on or against maybe this imperative when he said he would never do this around his children.
Swear.
Not swear.
Sing. Smoke weed.
Smoke weed is exactly what it says here.
Hey, kid, turn around.
Oh, turn around.
Close your eyes.
Thanks for coming, Stephanie. Thanks for coming.
Close your nose.
Put the kids in the
Have
basement.
Fun with phages.
Have nice a good class, you. Stephanie.
Take care, Steph.
Good luck.
Have fun.
I thought that was pronounced Faye yogurt.
The yogurt?
I still am personally waiting for the autobiography that Kanye West and Kim Kardashian's daughter is going to write, North by Northwest.
That would be good.
Sorry, couldn't help myself. Kant describes the wide or meritorious duty to oneself as harmonization with others. This person surely isn't doing this, as he canceled his scheduled appearance recently on Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, no.
Donald Trump?
Donald Trump was the name of that person who canceled. Can you believe canceling on Jimmy Kimmel?
He's fired.
You've got to be pretty important.
He's fired.
You're listening to Ask the Professor, recorded before a live audience at the University of Detroit Mercy McNichols Campus Library. This is a radio program where listeners have been matching wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors and their guests since 1954. There's quite a rich history with the show, and on almost every episode, we like to share memories of the professors who were a part of the program in years gone by. It's an Ask the Professor flashback, 1995.
Who said only in a police state is the job of a policeman easy?
Gore Vidal.
No. No, it's an American actor, director, filmmaker, stage director, theater.
Orson Welles.
That's right. All right. Orson Welles. That's right. Who said moral indignation, jealousy with a halo?
Ooh,
that's nice.
Oh, Sarah.
Is that E.B. White?
Said it.
No. And just joining us from the Department of History, the chairman of that department, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Someone's
Sarah.
Sitting in my chair. I'm in my forage mode.
Oh, my God. Goldilocks. What about your bed?
Nobody's sleeping in my
okay.
bed. Oh, you poor love.
All right, we have another set of questions from Lucas Mathis, and these ones apparently are the ones about UDM. Uh-oh. And they come directly from our most recent Spiritus magazine.
Wah,
if you don't
wah.
Know the answers, then shame on you, he says.
Oh, boy.
This is a student shaming the profs. That's pretty
I've
incredible.
I've read the second to last Spiritus magazine, but not the most recent one.
I was schooled by one of my Polish students recently that
what's
spiritus is a pretty general word that means like the hardest of hardcore, like homemade liquors in Poland. So I'm like,
spiritus?
Spiritus.
Wow.
It only makes sense, right? As I tell my students, alcohol from the Arabic is the spirit or the ghost because people who got drunk look like they were possessed, and we still use that word to this day.
Hmm.
Oh, and I think that we're going to have to call it short here. We're not going to be able to get to this next set of questions. If I'm seeing the engineer's motion correctly, we're going to have to say goodbye.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Can you say goodbye, Professor Macchio?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Very well done. Professor Hill Vasquez.
Thanks for reminding me to come.
Absolutely. Professor Chow.
See you.
Professor Roach.
Stay classy, Detroit.
And now, these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor, or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM, or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed to the facilities of UDM's McNichols Library, also through the Department of Communication Studies and the College of Liberal Arts and Education on the McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Dom Cherko, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile.